We said Dawn Jackson Blattner is going to join us, the author, the registered dietitian and nutritionist. And there she is. Dawn, we've missed you. Welcome back.
Oh, my goodness. I have missed you. I'm excited to be chatting with you. Oh, my goodness.
I mentioned to Wendy Snyder this morning, she was filling in for our Bob Surratt, that not only did we make your healthier brownies, but then we made them again. You know, like a lot of times, Dawn, you'll put a recipe out there and people go, oh, that's a good idea, I'll try it. And they go, yeah, that was good. Wasn't good enough. We've made them a second time, Dawn.
Hey, that is a definite sign off that they are a must. You know what? You sent me a picture of them. And I cried a little bit of joy. I had like a little drip of tears. I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. But hearing that you made them a second time, that's a winning recipe right there.
Yeah, it is. And Wendy just made a squishy face because she says, wait, black beans blended and then oats ground up for the flour. My wife reminded me that it does have a little cocoa powder in there. And they have the look, feel, and texture of brownies that you want. They're not as sweet as the brownies you'll have from Duncan Hines, but that's part of the deal. And frankly, that's a nice way to enjoy a brownie.
Yeah, I think you're right. The texture piece is a big one for me, too, when I'm goofing around in the kitchen trying to make these sort of healthy alternatives. I want it to feel like a brownie and not like a punishment. And so I'm glad you feel the same, because I definitely feel that way about the brownies. And I, you know, the idea came because I really wanted more heart smart foods in my diet. I wanted to eat more oats. I wanted to eat more beans. Those are two very important things for cholesterol levels and heart health. And so, yeah, it's like it's a dessert, but also, you know, a nice treat for my heart.
So, Dawn, you have been talking to us a lot about how we should be aware that processed meats are probably not a good choice. So all of the stuff in the deli, all those meats, they're processed, including, who knew, ham. So, you know, be advised, right? And then there was an article that I saw in the Wall Street Journal about how processed foods, and they included cereals in there, by the way, are not only bad for you physically, but even mentally. They can hurt your cognition and memory. Did you see that, Dawn?
Yes, I did. I think we got to talk about this because it's ultra-processed foods is the topic. So it's not really even just processed foods. We're using this term called ultra-processed foods. And most of like the nutrition researchers out there, and there's becoming tons of research. This is one of the hottest topics in nutrition right now. Saying these ultra-processed foods, probably the definition will be easiest to understand for all of us, is that it's foods that contain ingredients that you wouldn't find in your home kitchen. So that is, you're looking at an ingredient package and you see a bunch of gums, you see the word lecithin, you see the words mono and diglycerides, you see things that are flavorings, you see things that isolates and concentrates. These are things that you probably don't have in your own cabinets, and so you couldn't recreate that food in your house. That is an ultra-processed food. So examples, like you had mentioned, would be like cereals. A lot of times we couldn't recreate those. Ice cream, French fries, chips, pizza, packaged snacks, muffins, processed meats, as you mentioned. So it's all these foods. And I got to tell you, the stat I looked up, it is shocking. This is shocking. 60% of the calories we eat as Americans fall into the group of ultra-processed foods. And so that's from the British Medical Journal. This is not just like made up hocus pocus. This is literally the majority, 60% of right. What we're eating is coming from these ultra processed foods. What's the big deal? Who cares? Who cares? Well, here's the deal that's happening. The British Journal of Medicine put out a report last month. Okay, it's brand new information that says, hey, we think that these ultra processed foods are connected to at least 32 different health issues that we have as people. That's obesity, diabetes, heart disease, certain types of cancer, depression, anxiety, sleep problems, and the list goes on. And so this is like, I don't mean to be such a gloom and doom, but this is something we really have to pay attention to. When you're looking at food labels, it's just not enough to look at all those numbers. A lot of times people are like, oh, what's the fat? What's the fiber? What's the sugar? What's the sodium? I say, listen, don't read that stuff first. You have to go to the ingredient list and see if what you're looking at is actually made of food. And the reason why these things, you know, scientists are figuring out like, oh my God, these are bad. I wonder why these are so bad. Well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but one of them is that they affect our gut microbiome, our gut health. And there's this thing called the gut-brain axis, which they talk to each other. So the healthier our gut, the healthier all the chemicals that our brain is making for our entire body. And the less healthy our diet, the less healthy those bacteria are to talk to our brain. And there's, in fact, like you had mentioned at the top, there is this addictive quality. It changes your mental well-being, these foods. And so there are some scientists, this is so interesting, there are some scientists who want to actually categorize a disease that's called the ultra-processed foods use disorder. They want to actually have this as a mental health diagnosis.
Wow.
Because there is such an addictive quality to these foods. Because of what? The fats. And the sugar is that people's brains start lighting up like baby nicotine or even alcohol, and it makes it so that you crave these foods even more. So there's a saying, the more you eat something, the more you want it. And so that goes with salad, or that goes with these processed foods. So if you're somebody who's stuck in this loop of thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so drawn to these foods, there is a mental component to it that slowly you can wean yourself off of by eating more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, more nuts and seeds, and slowly change your brain chemistry and your gut health. So I think the biggest question left, though, is how do people really read labels? You know what I mean? Like, so, okay, I've scared you to death about these ultra-processed foods. How do you know if you're actually eating them? That's, I think, the biggest question. How do you know? Because there is no universal definition. There's no set thing that you can pick up a food and it says on the front, you know, hey, I'm an ultra-processed food. You got to figure this stuff out yourself. You got to sleuth it out right now. And you look at the ingredient list and you use what I call the CRAP acronym, C-R-A-P. This has been the easiest way for me to learn for myself and to teach people, how do you know if this is an ultra-processed food? And so the C stands for chemicals that you don't have in your kitchen. If you see in the ingredient list a ton of gums and isolates and things, you don't use that. Like, you know, that's a red flag, baby. That's a red flag. That's a C. R, refined sugar and flour. That's the white stuff. So white flour, white sugar are typically in these ultra-processed foods. Then you have the A of crap, and that's artificial. Artificial flavors, colors, sweeteners. So when you see something like caramel color in something, yeah, I mean, that's a tip-off, a red flag. And then the P is preservative. So if you have a lot of BHT and compounds that you're like, what is this? Likely a preservative. And the more of these compounds, CRAP, that you see in that ingredient list, the more likely this is an ultra-processed food, and you can do better. The thing is it's not like you can't ever eat these things. You're going to eat them, but just not as many. That's going to be the key, not
as much. Well, I think that's really what you do for us is, okay, maybe I will have a ham sandwich, but I really want to know what I'm eating and the deal I'm making with myself, and maybe I'll have fewer ham sandwiches. I don't remember the last time I ate a piece of white bread, thanks to you. In fact, I do remember the last time I ate a piece of white bread, and it tasted like a donut. It was so, I don't know, it felt so sweet. It wasn't terrible, but it was so different. I must say I didn't like it anymore. Like, I'm used to my ground whole oat wheat bread or whatever.
I love that point. That's such a good point. If your taste buds change. So, you know, I think the worst thing that people do is they say, oh, yeah, I need to change my diet. And then they go all out and they get burned out. I mean, people just burn out from all these like crazy health challenges they do and all these massive diet changes, and they can't stick with it. But if you did it slowly and you had some fun with it, your taste buds will change and it will make it easier on you and, you know, more enjoyable.
So I got a bunch of questions from our listeners. I'll read them fast. You give me fast answers. You ready?
Yep.
I am someone who races mountain bikes competitively. I do not consume caffeine at all. Would adding caffeine before a race help my performance?
Oh, yes. Caffeine is actually a performance enhancer. And so it can be something like green tea. A lot of times that people love that because it's caffeine, but not as much as coffee. It's a natural source of caffeine. And the other thing is it's much less caffeine than coffee without jitters. So for people who are not regular caffeine drinkers, that's usually the place. Matcha tea is usually where I start, and it is a performance enhancer. If somebody really doesn't want caffeine, another similar type of effect is from beets, actually. Beets contain something called nitrates that open up your blood vessels and let about 30% more oxygen and nutrients get to your brain and your muscles.
Beets, like red beets, dark beets.
Yes, beets. And if you really want the performance enhancement, you need to get more of like, they sell them in like concentrated powders so that you can really get, you know, like six beets at a time kind of thing.
Greetings, John and Dawn and company. Thank you for your super informative program. What do you think about using potassium-enriched salt substitutes to help maintain healthy blood pressure?
Yes, that is wonderful. They have things on the market called like salt light. And instead of being the idea is like sodium rich, they're potassium rich. And your tongue sort of thinks that they're salt. There are a few people, different kind of medications, particularly around like heart and kidney, that probably should not have a ton of potassium-based salt substitutes. So do check with your doctor if you're somebody who really wants to, you know, go after this. But that salt light in the store is a great option to get that salty taste without actually having the sodium.
This one says potassium-enriched salt substitutes. Our number is 312-981-7200. Dawn Jackson-Blattner, the author, registered dietitian, and nutritionist. Her website is dawnjacksonblattner.com. Dawn, somebody just texted in, Dawn's brownies are the bomb.
Us rallying around the black bean brownies. I love it. Very good.
That recipe is at dawnjacksonblattner.com?
Yes, it's called cholesterol-friendly brownies.
Among the questions, is an egg a day okay?
Yes, an egg a day is okay. And actually, there is new research coming out about even for people who are at higher risk for heart issues, even that is good. And if you're somebody who is older or leans more vegetarian, even two eggs a day can be considered healthy. And when I say this, I mean the whole egg. A lot of people from the 1980s have learned that they should ditch the yolk, but that is untrue these days. We know that so much of the nutrition is actually in that yellow part, in the yolk, like choline for brain health and so many of the vitamins and minerals. So eat the whole egg.
773, are the spiral cut honey hams still processed?
Yes, they are. At the bottom of this whole story, though, is like, remember, you can still have it, but maybe just not as much, or and round it out. So instead of just, you know, huge hunks of ham, think about doing, you know, vegetables with it, fruits with it, other whole grains, round it out, you know, so it's like you don't have to give up your favorite food.
What about this 312? Is yogurt a processed food, Dawn?
Depends. Oh my gosh. This is such a great question because listen, every single food, the answer is going to be, it depends. You have to read the ingredient list. So some yogurts are just made with probiotics and some milk and cream. Boom, not an ultra processed food because I read the ingredient list. I may go to a different yogurt that ends up reading the ingredient list and see, oh, weird, this has isolates in it, this has gums in it, this has lecithin in it, so many things that I don't have in my kitchen. This is an ultra-processed food. So it's not a matter of, is this food in a package or not? That's not how you figure this out. You have to read the ingredients, and every single food is going to depend on the ingredients that manufacturer used.
Listen to this. Dawn Jackson-Blattner, you mean I shouldn't be eating a big bowl of Raisin Bran and Cheerios every morning? I thought they were heart healthy. But I did read something about oat cereals and some pesticides. Dawn, are you said a moment ago cereals are processed.
Listen. We gotta slow this down, everybody. Ultra processed foods are the words, so it's not just anything in a box. So some cereals are awesome for you, and some cereals are ultra processed. And how would I know? Well, I wouldn't. I would have to say, what's the ingredient list? You have to read it. So some of those cereals mentioned can be very good because they are bran and they're whole grain and they have raisins with no added sugar. And so you say, oh my gosh, absolutely have that cereal in the morning. Pair it with maybe a Greek yogurt for protein so that you have it well-rounded. Maybe some berries.
Dawn, do you eat box cereal? Do you eat box cereal?
Yeah. You know what? Yes, I do. And there's cereals out there that have very minimal ingredients.
Which ones do you eat, Dawn?
Well, I will say that they're in like the natural section of your grocery
That's
store.
Okay.
And they will say right on there, like whole oats, whole wheat flour, you know, looking for those kinds of words. And at the end of the day, you've got to round it out with yogurt and berries. Like cereal by itself is just not a whole meal. You know what I mean?
708 says, I heard olive oil is bad for you because of the oxidation that occurs after bottling. Is that true?
No, olive oil is good for you. And this is one of those cases where if you want to read enough about nutrition, you could make everything somehow bad for you, right? It's like there's so much information out there. So think about doing things instead of getting bogged down in the details. Think big picture. Big picture is countries who live the longest, healthiest lives are using olive oil. So olive oil is good. It just makes sure that you're storing it properly, and that would be not in direct sunlight, not with a lot of heat, not in clear glass bottles. So, you know, trying to always include olive oil but store it in the right way is the moral of that story.
King John, you have to tell Dawn and your listeners this. I wanted to tell her last week, but she wasn't there. I am a healthy eater. But when it's a cheat day, I get Lou Malnati's thin crust, gluten-free with sausage. Don suggested swapping out the sausage for hot jardinera, which I was skeptical about. But wouldn't you know it, the heat from it 100% replaces the sausage. It tastes the same, and I'm still able to enjoy my cheat meal without the processed meat. Thank you, Don, says Kate.
Oh, my gosh, I love that. Yeah, we do jalapenos on all of our pizzas instead of pepperoni and sausage. Well, I mean, not 100% of the time. Sometimes we still have pepperoni and sausage, but many times we will swap that out for jalapenos. And I'm so glad that Kate gave that a sign-off because, it really works.
We got to go, Dawn. Can you talk to us more next time about energy drinks?
Oh, my gosh, I'd love to, yes.
Okay, that's Dawn Jackson-Blattner. She'll be here next Thursday at this time.